girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast is all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So, girlfriend, let's do the damn thing.
Girl, I am so freaking pumped that you're here for today's episode. Like, if you are someone who wants to be a mom, or you're on your journey towards motherhood, or you are a mom, this episode is going to be so freaking impactful. Like, literally after I recorded this with my girl, Lindsay Roselle, who is on the show with us today, I was like, this has to be heard by every single woman in the entire world, because it was just such a raw conversation about ambition as a mom, especially for those of you that are corporate hustlers. Like, you really are focused on your career trajectory, but you also want to be a mom, or you are obsessed with your business and the work that you do in the world, and you're wondering like how your ambition and how being a business owner is going to affect you as a mom in different seasons of motherhood. We talk in such a raw way about this. We also dig into marriage as well as resentment that can come up, especially if you happen to be the breadwinner in your marriage. I think this is a really important conversation that is just so raw. The way that Lindsay talks about this, I think you're really going to resonate with. And if you're not familiar with Lindsay, I will tell you, this woman is, I like call her a Buddha, because she just has this deep wisdom to her, like a big sister energy. I love her so much. She is also the COO of Boss Babe, which I'm sure you've heard of. Her and Natalie Ellis, who's the founder of Boss Babe, started CEO Mama, which is a mastermind for high six-figure earning entrepreneurs, as well as seven-figure and eight-figure entrepreneurs. I'm actually part of this mastermind, and what they've created is so incredible. I love, love, love this container. She is the host of the Motherload podcast, which is funny because I actually helped her launch her show in one of my programs, but I didn't even fully understand the concept of the Motherload, which is essentially the mental load that moms have until becoming a mom. And I'm so new to this space. Like, I have a five-month-old. Lindsay's kids are a little bit older, so she's just got this beautiful perspective. And she's gone through so many different seasons as an entrepreneur, as someone that's now building one of the biggest brands out there. And I just think you're really going to resonate with this. So as always, if this episode hits home, please, please, please share this. Let Lindsay know that it was helpful for you, because she is so, so raw in this. And I just think that it is really going to serve you in a massive way. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Lindsay, girl, I am so freaking excited to have you on the show and have such a juicy conversation. Welcome.
Thank you. Me too. So excited. I feel like this has been a long time coming.
It has really been a long time coming. Okay. There's so many things that we're going to jam on. But before we like get into all the juice, you are now the COO of Boss Babe and CEO Mama. You have an amazing, like, a podcast that you're in a current like hiatus of temporarily, but the concept behind it, the Motherload, is something, as soon as you told me that you were creating this podcast, I was like, wow, this is such a cool idea. And I didn't really get it fully until I became a mom. And now that I am a mom, I'm like, oh, this makes a lot more sense. And I know as Brody gets older, it's going to only resonate in a deeper level. And you are a mom of two boys, and you are juggling a lot of things. So I would love if you could just give like kind of a high level, I know this is an open question, but like a high level overview, like who is Lindsay? What's Lindsay doing? Running businesses, raising humans, all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've done a little bit of everything in my life till now. I had a 9-year corporate career. I worked in like the energy industry, you know, random how I got into that. But like I traveled all over the world. I got to see the world, had a really great career, but knew that I wasn't meant to be, you know, somebody else's corporate employee. And so left that in 2014. So I've spent basically the last 10 years in entrepreneurship, doing a little bit of everything, a lot of in-person stuff, which then of course COVID disrupted, learning a ton about online marketing, building masterminds, coaching. I love one-on-one coaching, like high level one-on-one coaching that's really centered around inner work and nervous system regulation and like mindset, that kind of stuff is what I was doing most recently. And then, yeah, in 2020 and like coming out of 2020, had this kind of awakening. I had my babies in 2017 and 2019. So they're 4 and 6. And like it's crazy, like even just in the last couple of years, how much has changed in terms of the awareness of how having kids affects your ambition and yeah. how it feels. Because I mean, all the things that we now talk about a lot in CEO Mama, and I felt during those early years, but had no vocabulary for it. No one around me that was talking about it. No one that was showing me a model of how to do it in my own way. I just felt like I'm the breadwinner. I had a baby. I've got to get right back to work as soon as possible. And I'm just going to bring him with me. Yeah, I guess that's what I'll do. Yeah. And you know, I learned the hard way in those first couple of years of getting so depleted and so burned out, but still having this breadwinner pressure on me, that going into 2020 when the world exploded and like my in-person businesses were mandated to close and I lost businesses and lost so much money, you know, coming out of all of that, as I started to recover, my husband and I's relationship, like we separated during 2020, late 2020 and early 2021. And so like literally everything in my life fell apart and it was this massive clearing. And coming out of that in 2021 and 2022 was this awakening, I would say, around like everything else but motherhood, like where I was really looking at, oh, like I can reinvent myself. I can do all these things. And I was like kind of scared to approach motherhood and what it meant for ambition. But I kept hitting walls. Like I would start something or I would launch something or I'd have an idea and I'd be like, meh, this isn't it, you know, and I wouldn't give my all to it. And I still had really young kids during this era, you know, and I was like, man, I just don't know what's wrong with me. Like I used to be so productive. And I finally realized through a mastermind I was in 2022 and some plant medicine work that, I mean, I really had this confrontational epiphany around motherhood and that becoming a mother, you know, is so multifaceted, but that it fundamentally altered my identity. And I hadn't taken the time in those first few years to answer any of the questions I have around, what does this mean? And what do I want? And how has this changed me? And how has it changed, like for the better, you know? And so a lot of that stuff really came up heavy in 2022. And what came out of it was Motherload, the podcast. And I worked with you to launch it. Full circle moment. And I just knew, like, I had the epiphany on the train to Machu Picchu in Peru after doing ayahuasca. Like, I know it sounds cliche, but like truly it took like literally that something that extreme, me being in the middle of the jungle after doing ayahuasca. Like I'd never done a single psychedelic in my whole life. And I went and did this like 2 week long plant medicine retreat because I just felt this call of like, I've got to shake something up. Like I don't know who I am. We were on this train and I was like, there's a conversation that needs to be had around ambition and devotion and how I feel. I knew I wasn't alone, but I knew no one else was talking about it. Like, I feel so fucking ambitious. I love ambition. I love doing like creating things and following my intuition into businesses and cheering other people on in their businesses. Like, I love ambition. And being a mother, I'm like, I also want to be like the devoted mother that I think my kids need, that I needed and didn't have, that I think is generational trauma healing. Like, I want to be a devoted mother. And every time I tried to reconcile those two things, they would just like clash against each other. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, there's a conversation to be had here around how do you harmonize ambition and devotion? And so I really devoted myself to that podcast for 2022 and into 2023. And that's when Natalie and I reconnected at that time. I had been in a program with her in 2020. And she had become a mother in 2022 and was going through a lot of the same questions, which we now know she now talks really candidly about around becoming a mother and this question of like, do I really want my business anymore? And is this the version of my business I want? So her and I had reconnected and we were just DMing a lot. And she was getting this inkling of starting CEO Mama. And I had Motherload and I was like, maybe we do something together. Like, I don't have the audience that you have, but I can really speak to it from having older kids. And so we collaborated on CEO Mama. And late last year, last fall, the COO that she had at that time wanted to move on to a different career path. And Natalie was like, hey, do you want like a bigger role and you want to build Boss Babe together? And I was like, oh shit, like this is so crazy. Like I had never I had never thought of, like, you know, I never manifested exactly that, but yeah. I think we work so well together, and we had co-created CEO Mama in such a way where we really understood each other from this lens of like ambition and devotion yeah. to motherhood, and had an agreement of like how we would build the business back up and back together. Really honoring that, and that, you know, she's still having babies. I'm done having babies. And so it was like this agreement of, I get it, and I'm a little bit ahead of her, and I can support and hold the business while she has more kids. And so, yeah, so I took the role COO in October officially, and it's awesome. Like, I definitely feel like everything was destined to this moment. Mm-hmm. And in those hard times in 2020 and early 2021, when I thought like my life had totally fallen apart and I would never recover, had you told me this is where I would be, I'd be like, no way, you're crazy. But now I see the breadcrumbs when I look back. So it's amazing.
It's always so beautiful when you have that hindsight perspective. So for someone listening into this right now that's in the thick of it, that's like, how is this all going to make sense? Or this feeling of like, there's a bigger conversation. I know there's like another evolution of me. It can feel so difficult when you're in that middle stage. But I do think it is really helpful to hear from people that are on the other end of something where it's like, ooh, let me connect the dots looking backwards, you know? So, yeah. Okay, tell us more about the mother load conversation in general. Like, how do you think about that term? What do you think is the problem in our current culture with like moms that are ambitious and trying to juggle both? Like, what comes up when you think about the mother load?
Yeah. So the way I think of it is, you know, we talk a lot about mental load and how there's all these things that you're constantly thinking about that aren't visible to anyone outside of your own mind. And I think for mothers, there's an immense additional amount of stuff that, not just tasks and like, you know, stuff around the house, like that stuff is there too. There's more of that when there's more people and kids, but it's also like existential stuff, like safety. And God, I mean, the first time I was ever aware of this, Sawyer was probably, my oldest was like 3 months old, and RT and I went out for a hike, and we were hiking here in the foothills of Colorado. And I had this like overwhelming fear feeling that we were like going to get eaten by a mountain lion. And I was like, this is so insane. Like, I have never felt this way in nature. I've never been worried about anything like this. We had our big dog with us. Like, it was such an irrational fear. Mm-hmm. But I was like, whoa, where is this coming from? Like, this is a new mental load thing of like, now I want to be hypervigilant about wildlife. Like, and that's like the feeling that I have. And then it's in every aspect of my life, you know? And, I think the mental load for mothers is this, it's all the tangible things that we can think of. Plus it's this additional layer that's really hard to describe until you know it. And it's mm-hmm. this vigilance and awareness and future thinking around basically that you want to give your kids everything. You want them to be safe. You want to protect them. And so you're constantly thinking about every aspect of their
everything.
Well-being. Yeah. And your own mortality starts to come up because you're like, well, shit, I don't want them to be without me. So now I want to pay more attention to my health, and I want to sleep better, and I want to eat right, and I want to like get the health checkups I need. And then that just compounds because you're like, that's 9,000 appointments I need to schedule. And I break it down as 7 buckets. It's work, money, fun, health, love. So those are like the 5 main buckets of mental load. And then once you become a mother, it's kids and parenting and all the stuff you need to manage there. And then I think this like purpose and meaning aspect comes in, because I think when you're before you have kids, purpose and meaning can be like very fluid and very invincibility. Like, you're young, like I'm immortal. I'm never going to die. I'm 25. I have my whole life ahead of me. Then you have a baby and you're like, oh shit, what is my life's purpose? Like, what am I here to be, and who am I here to like be on this earth, and what am I meant to do? And every hour that you spend doing those things, you're calculating against an hour you could spend with your child. And so it just deepens the mental load of all of these things. And I always say, like, mother load to me isn't negative. Like, we're built to carry this load and we love it. And a lot of it I don't want to delegate because it's my joy. And I love to be acknowledged by my partner and the world around me that like I'm carrying a lot and it does affect me. And sometimes I want to be held in that, and sometimes I want to be supported in that. And being really seen and is such an important piece of it. And I think that's why like CEO Mama and the podcasting and all of that is such a big deal, because it's I think for us to lighten the load is less about getting rid of those things and more about just being seen and understood that, man, you're carrying a lot, Keisha. Like, and you do it so gracefully and so beautifully. Like, you're an inspiration. And we can hold both of those feelings at the same time. It's a lot and it's yes. hard and it's beautiful and I love it.
It's the both. Like, I had no idea until becoming a mom, like the magnitude of holding multiple emotions simultaneously is so real. And one of the things that has been coming up with Sina and I too is like, we want to give Brody and future kids, like, we want to give them everything. We want to give them this like childhood that we didn't have, or these experiences or opportunities that maybe we didn't have. But then you also, the load of it too is like, well, we don't want to give them too much. We want to make sure that they learn. We want to keep him safe, but we also want him to, you know, fall and stumble. And it's like the evolutions of all of that, I think, is really powerful. And one thing that I think you speak so well to, Lindsay, like, I've told you a million times, I'm so grateful for our friendship and meeting you at this stage as I've moved into this stage of life. Yes, with CEO Mama, but as like just a personal friend too, because you just have this like deep, you're like a Buddha, like in a human form. Like, you're just, it's just your projector nature. You're just this like, you just have this like Buddha vibe. And I love it so much, this calming energy. But can you speak to like, think of the women that are listening into this. It's like, number one category is the women who are about to have babies, or they have big careers or businesses and they're scared shitless because of all of the negative stuff that you see about motherhood. And then I want to speak to a different demographic, but let's start with the people that like are worried about it. What would you say in your like Lindsay wisdom to the people that are worried about how they're going to juggle it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very real. And for a lot of us, the only models we've had are people that modeled it as being difficult, right? Yeah. And I, you know, I'm an elder millennial, and I've had this conversation with my mom many times, but she never modeled a version of motherhood that felt like she loved it. I'm not betraying her in saying that. And like, it's emotional for me to say it even to this day, even though I've done a lot of work on this, is I don't believe she loved it. I think she felt like she had to be a mother because that's what her generation believed. And she got married at age 20, you know, like, I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. And like, bless her, right? So much grace for her and her generation. And I think a lot of us have come from lineages and our own mothers where they maybe didn't represent the kind of mother we want to be. And so we're sitting at the cusp of becoming a mother going, how do I do it? If the only way I've ever seen is not what I want, then like, how do I know what I do want? And I think what I say to that, based on my experience, and I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old now, is there's no way to know or to predict. The best thing to do is just to go day by day. And I know that that's like not what you want to hear, but it's to show up every day and go, okay, I'm not expecting the worst thing to happen, but I'm also not expecting I'm not expecting for it to be easy. I'm expecting this to be a real, like, gritty human experience. It's painful in your body at times. It does rob you of sleep, and that is really fucking hard on your brain. Yeah. It does change how you feel about your partner for a while, and you do have to reconcile relationship issues. You will have to do that. It is going to make you look at your body differently, mostly in a good way because you're so freaking powerful, but also it's going to invite you to soften in how you judge yourself, you know? And all of these things are fully in your control if you are present. You know, I think when it starts to, you can spiral into the fear and into the negative rhetoric around all of it, is when you stop trusting that you'll be able to figure it out and you look externally for advice of somebody to like tell you what to do. And I think, you know, I want to say it as like kindly as possible, but no one knows. No one's an expert. There's lots of women for ages and ages that have had babies, but they've never had your baby and your body and your environment and your relationship. So just take everything with a grain of salt. And I say that at the same time as I will say this, there are also many, many resources. So if there's something like, I know you took the Taking Care of Babies course, and it's like, wow, how amazing it feels to get some sleep. Like, so always trust yourself. And when you have a thing that comes up and you're like, man, this isn't working and I don't know what to do, I think there's also this wealth of information available, so you can have ease in your mind to know, I'm going to have good intuition and instinct, and as long as I trust that, I'm going to be okay. And when I hit an obstacle and I don't know what to do, there's people I can trust to go ask for advice. And I think as long as you can kind of stay in that balance, you'll be totally fine. And I get it. People want to share the hard stuff. And I think that's a way of bonding, especially mm-hmm. in our culture where like we tend to only like, we like either suffering or we like massive success. We don't like just yeah. the boring middle. And so like motherhood isn't something you can like win at. So a lot of people default right. to talking about the suffering of it. And, mm-hmm. and I think there's lots of normal everyday beauty you can talk about in motherhood that, mm-hmm. that gets you can, where you can have a conversation with someone and get out of the suffering and just be like, hey, normal everyday beauty in motherhood. It's hard and it's amazing.
That's so well put. And it's interesting too, because I think I knew like nobody can prepare you for any season and you're not prepared for 8 and 10. You're like, we're all just figuring this out as we go. And I think it's like sometimes for people, especially for like very like type A people that maybe are listening into this podcast that would identify that way, where like they want the steps. It's like, you cannot be prepared because you have no idea what's coming. And I think right. that uncertainty can feel unsettling to your nervous system. But I think the way that you talk about this and the beauty is like, you have to just trust that you figure it out as you go. And I think that if we're too caught up in everybody else's perception of it, it can be really difficult. And honestly, like one of the things, and like I've talked to you about this, is like I loved pregnancy and I loved childbirth. And I actually felt really uncomfortable for a little bit there talking about how much I loved it, because I felt like that was welcoming all of this criticism and like feedback to me by putting that out there.
Right.
So it's like everybody has their different perspective. And I think it's valid to want to share whatever you feel called to share, and know that you're also welcoming other people. And that's a whole different ballgame in itself, the social media aspect yeah. of motherhood and everyone and their cousin and Sally Sue 293 telling you how to raise your freaking child when she doesn't even know you.
Yeah. So, I mean, social media is such a game changer in this realm. And I would invite also, and this takes discipline, but in these times of like the threshold, when you're going to cross the veil from non-mother into motherhood, like I get goosebumps talking about it. Like the matriescence journey, I think that used to be so sacred. And I'm gonna get a little woo-woo. That journey used to be so sacred. And now it's so medical, right? And it's so social. We tell so many people about it and everybody's counting down the weeks with us and everyone knows how big the baby is and what yeah. the baby's name is. Like we've removed a lot of the sacredness out of the journey the mother takes from being her own sovereign individual to now being someone else's mother. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm not saying that you have like to go on a social media fast or not to share things, but I think it is this invitation for you, if you're at this stage of crossing the threshold, or even if you're looking at second or third baby or whatever, to like have some reverence for keeping some of it sacred and keeping some of it private and lowering the amount of strangers or tangential people that are not in your quote unquote tribe
yeah.
from knowing about it, because their opinion is not going to be additive. It's not. Mm-hmm. And I like, if I had anything to do again, it would be like to go back in there and tell Lindsay as she made that transition in to really appreciate kind of the grieving of the maiden, of the woman who is leaving at this threshold yeah. and the new woman that is being born along with her baby. Mm-hmm. And I've only recently, you know, in the last couple of years done that work. And there's so much emotion in like, man, I was so hung up on doing it right or having the right birth plan or, mm-hmm. you know, having the right stuff that I just wanted to get through labor. I wasn't present, you know? So the fear is real and the opinions of others are real. And I think it's such a sacred, if you're a first time mom or you're deciding if you want to be a mom, I think the sacredness of it, if you can really lean into that, man, that's nurturing. Like, yeah. and it really cements you in this ability to trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest lesson if I could like wave a magic wand, go to everybody in their first couple of weeks of motherhood. It's like, just trust yourself. What's the answer? You trust yourself.
And leading up to it, just like curate, like don't have conversations with people that are going to like everybody's always projecting, obviously. But at the same time, it's like I had to be so cautious even going into like birth with the experience that I had in my head that I wanted of like not letting everybody else tell me what they, oh gosh, it's just a whole game. So, okay. That being said, can you, because like when you were first building a business, you had, gosh, what was it? Like a 2.5, like you had a real, like Sawyer was really young, right?
Yeah.
What can you talk to that season? Because there are moms listening into this that are telling themselves the story of, I can't do this because I have kids. Yeah. That is a really common thing of like, I wish I could do this. I mean, I even had people tell me before I had Brody, like, oh, like you can go at this pace or you can do these big things. But like when you have kids, everything will change. Again, that's all projection and everybody gets to create their own reality of what their desire is in that season. But can you speak to like ambition from a business perspective or even a career perspective with young kids and what that looked like and felt like?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think what it felt like for me in the moment was I had no choice.
Yeah.
And what I think is different now is you get to choose. And I think those two things are two sides of the same coin. I had no choice because the system that our T and I had set up in our life was that we were reliant on my income. Yeah. And we had incorrectly or naively, because we didn't know, assumed that like it would be no big deal. Like I'd have the baby and a couple weeks of recovery and I'd be able to like work again. And I worked from home. At the time I had a consulting company where I billed my hours for dollars. And so yeah. Like I legitimately had to do the hours in order to bill them. And so we just, you know, hindsight, but the choice we made was we won't save money or like ready ourselves at all. Also, I got pregnant accidentally. Well, it was a surprise. Yeah. We were not intending to get pregnant at the time that we did. We also didn't have a lot of time to prepare. We had 9 months to prepare.
Yeah.
But you know, I felt like I didn't have a choice. Like I had to go right back to work. And so it felt like my business, like it was chaos if I didn't go back to work because it would destabilize our life and safety was the main thing. Now, like what I would say now is there are seasons. Do I believe that you can do anything as a mother? Absolutely. Like I think women who are mothers can follow their ambition to whatever level they want to go to. And there is evidence of that everywhere, right? Like mm-hmm. there are hyper successful women who have four kids, like Sarah Blakely.
Yeah.
And she's not doing it alone.
Yes.
She never did it alone. And so I do think that it's like, okay, you got to make the choice for you too. She kept working. She kept building $1 billion business. She also had a bevy of nannies and a husband who was around a lot. And, mm-hmm. you know, like she had a lot of support. And so it's these reality checks in how you're choosing to look at your ambition. And I like the word seasons for this, where it's like, you know mm-hmm. what, in this season of early motherhood, your ambition isn't gone. It's not dying. But it may be on the back burner. Like you may set your ambition aside to be home with young kids for a couple of years. You may.
Yeah.
And there may be a part of you that hates to hear that and hates it every day that it's going on because you're like, oh, I'm dying to work. I'm dying to create. I love this. And like, this is the season for me to be home with my babies. And you may be the opposite. You may be like, I love my kids, but I'm a 3 months of maternity leave and right back into work person because that's what I need. And that's okay too. And I think the myth that we fall for is like what it feels like in the early season of motherhood is what it's always going to feel like. And if you buy into that, that's when you start to really spiral because you're like, oh God, my ambition is dead. All I want to do is be a stay-at-home mom. And I'm like, you hear me say this in CEO Mama where I'm like, give it like 3 months and you'll be through into the next season because your baby changes so fast. You know, you have a second baby and it's all going to change. You have a third baby, it's all going to change. You get like where I'm at. 4 years out from my youngest is four, like I feel like I'm finally back into like full ambition mode where I'm like, oh man, 4 years later, four years, you guys, I'm finally feeling like I remember this version of Lindsay. And so had you told me when I was first having babies that it would be 4 years after my last baby that before I really felt my ambition come back full steam, I would have freaked out because I would be like, well, that's not going to work. There's no way I can possibly make enough money and like survive if I'm not fully in my full ambition. And I'm sitting here telling you, like, I have figured it out. And have I had hard times over the last few years where we didn't have a lot of money and shit was rough? Like, yeah. And I never sacrificed like my intuition gut on what I needed to be doing in that season. I stuck with it. And I was like, in this season, I know this is what I need to do. And I know it's hard for us right now, but it's going to change. And when it changes, I'll be ready. And, you know, here we are. So
beautiful.
Yeah, it's hard, but ambition is something that you get to be in relationship with, and it's not a hard and fast defined quantity in your life. And I want everybody to hear that. Like, you get to choose how your ambition plays in every season. And it might be a motherhood season for a while. And then it might be an ambition season. And you get to do both.
When you find a company that you know their products are so well made, it's such a slam dunk, and they come out with a new product line that you're so freaking excited about, you want to tell all of your girlfriends and anyone that listens into your podcast about them, yeah, that's it right now. I'm talking about ClearStem. If you're not familiar with ClearStem, they are my favorite skincare line, but they just also came out with a luxury hair care line. So to give you some context, ClearStem is anti-acne and anti-aging, but also a non-toxic line with no hormone disruptors, which I know is something that a lot of you listening into this, especially if you're in like your fertility journey or whatever, you are concerned about that, or you just care about non-toxic products that actually work. I love their moisturizer so freaking much. Their serums, their cleanser, their scrub. I've been using their products since 2018. I'm obsessed with this brand. And just recently, they came out with a luxury hair care line. And when I say luxury, I'm super excited about that because I've tried non-toxic or like different types of hair care lines that don't have hormone disruptors. And like, I've cared a lot about that, especially recently. And like, some of them just leave your hair feeling like so greasy and flat. This is going to actually work to make your hair juicy and voluminous, but also not cause any breakouts. Because a lot of times when we get breakouts on our like hairline, which I don't know if you ever get that, but if you ever do, it's often because of our hair products. So ClearStem just created their own. So I love their products so freaking much. If you're interested in checking them out, as a listener of the show, you get a sweet discount. All you have to do is head to clearstemskincare.com, use code Kacia, K-A-C-I-A. You get a sweet discount on their products. And as always, if you love their skincare, because this is actually one of the things that I get the most DMs about when I mention this on the podcast, because so many of you try their products or their moisturizer or their freaking sunscreen, and you're like, this is amazing. DM me, let me know what you think. And again, head to clearstemskincare.com, use code Kacia, K-A-C-I-A for a sweet discount, and let me know what you think. All right, without further ado, let's dive back in. And you might do it like you might do what I did, where I felt really great. And then you launch a program and you have to refund $100,000.
Yeah.
You're like, crap, I misread the season. And it's like, if we can only just give ourselves a lot more grace, like it was interesting because when that happened, I remember just thinking like, oh my gosh, how did I not know that this was coming? And it's like, duh. Like at first it was like this instant, like, why did I not know this? I should have known better. And it was like, instantly afterwards, wait a second, because you've never done this before. Yeah. And even with number two or different stages, it's like, I just feel like this is been the biggest like growth and transformation. And it's a forever thing now. Like I had the moment, I think I told you this, Lindsay, when we were together last, but like I had a moment where I was like, oh, I'm going to be a mom for forever now. Like it's never going, like this is always forever. This is constant evolution as,
right,
you know, our babies evolve. So one thing totally. I definitely want to touch on too is this, like the being the breadwinner in particular, any like seasons of just knowing your story and knowing you guys, like any seasons of resentment, because that's a common theme that a lot of women are running into, or even just the fear of like, my business is, or my career is the one that's making the majority of the money. And like, I want to have kids, is this, or I want to have another one. Like, you know, all of the feelings that come up with that. Can you speak to your experience?
Yeah. I mean, the resentment is real.
Yeah.
Valid, super valid. And I'm still the breadwinner and I still feel it. So, you know, RT and I literally talked about this over the weekend, and Natalie and I talk about this a lot inside of Boss Babe, where it's like, I heard somebody say it on a podcast recently, and she said it so beautifully, and I'm going to butcher it, but it was like, I'm so capable. I am so capable. And I pride myself on that. And I am from the millennial generation. We were raised to do anything. Like, we are so fucking capable. And it's not really fair to expect that because I'm so capable, I can just do it all. And it's not fair for us to expect that of ourselves. And it's not fair to set that expectation in our family unit and then just go about our lives. And so there's this agency in it. It's like, I set that expectation with RT that like, just keep loading it on and I'll take care of it because I'm so fucking capable.
It's
not fair to him that I've done that without any boundaries. And it's not fair that I do that to myself and then I don't ask him for support when I really need it. And I'm just waking up to this like very recently. We went through some cycles in 2020 and 2021 that where there was a lot of resentment around becoming parents because of the way we became parents, where it was not intentional. But I didn't, I was 34 when I was pregnant. I was like, I'm having this baby. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to terminate. And so you're now a parent. And RT felt at the time like he never expressed it, but that caught up with us where it felt like he didn't have a choice. Yeah. And, you know, whatever, we could go into that. But like, we worked through a lot of that becoming a parent without it being a choice, resentment that had built. And now there's like, down the road, I would say we're so much healthier now. We talk about it. Like, he and I had a 2-hour conversation this weekend about this so that it doesn't turn into like relationship problems.
Yeah.
But we had a very candid conversation of like, I make a lot of money now. Like I have a big salary. I have other sources of income. And I love making money. I love having a big role. Like I have worked hard to get to where I am and I love it. And like, I would love the money that I make not to matter, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I get all the like trad wife and all this crap from women sometimes where they're like, oh, you're not a feminist. And I'm like, no, like I want to be my own person and I want to be in my power. And I would love the feeling of being able to come home and know that I'm safe if I didn't want to work another day in my life, mm-hmm. and just be with my kids. I don't want that. But sometimes I feel like being the breadwinner and having it all be on me is so much. It's just so much. And then when a kid wants to, you know, need something from me, or even my freaking dogs, I'm like, everybody needs something from me, you know? And I feel this sometimes and I'm like, ooh, that's the resentment boiling where like, I can't sit down without one of the people that, or dogs that lives in my house, like sitting on me. And I'm like, God, I can't even get like physical space because everybody needs me. And I've felt that a lot lately. Yeah. And so I expressed it to RT and I was like, I'm feeling like everybody needs something from me and I don't have the person that I can come to and go, I don't want to today. So can you, you know? And he and I had to have like a very real conversation and he's like, well, what do you need from me? Cause like, I feel like you never ask me for help on anything but I can help you with stuff. And I'm like, great question. I'm so freaking capable. And I'm so in this pattern of just doing it all that I don't even know what I need help with. I just know I'm frustrated. Yeah. And so like a lot of this stuff is in flux. And like the biggest thing with resentment and the mother load to me is normalizing it, like expressing it to your partner and saying like, I'm not saying I necessarily know what I need help with. I'm just saying, I know that I can't do all these things myself. And I'm the expectation I have of myself to do it. And that I think you have of me to do it makes me feel resentful. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's opened up a loop for us now where we're working on like, okay, he, you know, his business is still growing and he can't make the kind of money I make. So short of financial contribution to the family, what else can he contribute to the family that takes load off of me? Yeah. And that's edgy for me, like I said, because I don't want to give up a lot of, you know, I'm like, well, I like to be in control of the schedules. I like to be in control of the groceries. Like, but those are things that I could delegate, you know? So it's so dynamic and I don't have a good answer for it other than just to say it's real. And like, even at high levels of success and financial, you know, earning where I'm at as a breadwinner, the problem still exists.
Yeah. Well, I think it's so powerful too, to even acknowledge for anyone listening in that resonates with that, that like sometimes even like Sina's done that to me before where he's like, well, how can I help with this? And I'm like, now you just put it on me. I don't know the answer. Can you just like come up with an answer and then just like tell me what you're going to do? Which in itself feels like part of the load of it also is like, okay, now you're asking me to come up with what you need to do. And then I feel like I have to tell you, and I don't want to have to tell you. I just want you to come up with it. And I've said that to him verbatim. And he's like, I get it, but like, but actually like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, we're back in the same spot.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So it is, I think that's just really important for people to hear because sometimes like, you know, just hearing that you're not alone in that, because there's someone right now that's listening to this while she's doing her workout. She's like having this time where she's like in the shower, trying to get ready. She's juggling stuff. She has kids in the back of her car. She's listening to this. She's like, wow, like someone articulated that I'm feeling that way. And I think just knowing that like your feelings are always valid, but like you're so many people feel that way. Cause like, I mean, Lindsay with CEO Mama, every single person in that room has felt seasons like that.
Oh yeah.
In it, right in the thick of it, you know?
And I think the differentiator, and like I'll be really candid with everybody listening, the differentiator between the moms and the breadwinner badasses who like figure it out and have healthy relationships and can navigate the resentment, and the ones who it destroys their relationship and they end up in a negative relationship pattern or divorced, mm-hmm. the difference is being able to say exactly that. Like, I don't know what I need from you. I just need you to know that this is what I'm feeling. Yeah. And I get it that that's so hard. Like I've been in those seasons where I did not feel safe saying that to him. I did not feel safe because I thought he would walk. I thought he would gaslight me. I thought he would make it my fault, you know, like all of the things you can imagine. And for us, it was like a lot of couples therapy and then a lot of really edgy conversations that were emotional and hard in the moment. But like you get through them and you're like, oh, like load off. He knows the truth. And so we see this, you know, this is definitely in CEO Mama, like, you know, we have examples of this at all levels of earning and success for mamas that I know where it's okay if your relationship doesn't feel safe in this moment to express your truth, but you got to find a way to get there. You got to do the work. And it may not be that you want to like come in hot and dump it all on them at once if you haven't had a pattern of communicating in this way. But I will tell you that like motherhood changes relationship dynamics. It does, undeniably. And part of you growing into the new person that you have to grow into to be someone's mom, you also have to grow into a new person to be a partner with that person's, with your child's co-parent or father, you know? And so I think, again, this is the mother load because it's like, God, now I have to change. I have to do all this work to be somebody's partner. I have to do all this work to be somebody's mother. And it's like, yeah, you do. And you're going to want to, because it's easier down the road to learn your new identity and to operate from your new identity than it is to like try to be old you in your old relationship pattern and like squeeze motherhood into that, because it's not gonna work.
And I think it's even normalizing like the grief that comes with that, because obviously with change there's grief, but it's like thinking that you're going to be like, I mean, I'm so fresh into this, obviously 5 months as we're recording this, but it's like thinking that you're going to be the same person, or you're going to approach your business or career the same way, or you're going to have the same type of marriage or the same desire with like female friends. Like I've even noticed, I was saying to Sina on our walk yesterday, I was like, I'm in this season where like, I really just love like so much time with our family. And I was like a girl's girl, like girls night all the time person before Brody. And it's not that I don't care about female friendships. I definitely do. But I'm in this season where I'm like, this is so precious. I just want to soak this up and savor this so much with this like little unit that we have. And I think normalizing conversations around that, that doesn't mean that you don't care. It's just what is the priority for you right now? And what's nourishing to you? And I'm like, what is nourishing to me, honestly, is like seeing us figure out these dynamics. And like, I don't know if this came up for you, Lindsay, I'm sure it did, but like becoming a mom has come up. I did not anticipate how much it would bring up for me, my relationship with my own parents. Yeah. And like, it's made me so much closer with my mom, and it's made me have some question marks, even like with my dad, of like, how do I want to show up? And what does this look like? And then being careful not to assume that Sina is going to do some of the same things that my dad did, because he's the dad, and like all of this that you have no idea what's coming. And to anyone listening in that has not had a kid, that can feel really overwhelming. But at the same time, it is so beautiful, because it's this beautiful invitation where like, I like the person that I am so much better than the person before I became a mom, because I just have so much more awareness and compassion for myself, you know? So can you also speak to that too? Like Lindsay now as a mom, an ambitious mom, versus Lindsay before, thinking like, I'm just going to grow in my career, like the difference between you now.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting what you say around this feeling of, you know, especially in early motherhood, like the cocooning phase where you're like, I don't feel as drawn to be so outward. Like I don't need to be the butterfly right now. I like to be in the cocoon. And I think that's a very real experience of early motherhood. And it kind of gets to back what I was saying around like letting it be sacred. And I think so many of us feel pressure, like social media or business or family pressure, to show so much of what's happening. And I think if you're feeling in the inclination to cocoon a little bit, to honor that, because that is, I think it's biological. It's your nervous system. It wants safety. It wants to protect this very vulnerable little baby. Mm-hmm. And you need to bond, and you need to see your partner bond. And the more people that are in the mix, it's just, that's not natural, right? Like you see mothers in nature, and they do move away from the group in the first few, you know, days, weeks, however long the cycle is for that species. But they are not just like socializing within days of having a baby. They're isolated. And I think there's a lot to learn there. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was just in Nashville a couple of weeks ago for a speaking engagement. And, you know, it was really the first trip where I was there I was there with my EA from Boss Babe, but like I was alone. My family wasn't there. I was on stage. So I was kind of like feeling myself. And I'm like, oh, like, and it's Nashville. Like there's bachelorette parties and there's guys around. And, you know, there was a conference in our hotel. So I'm like talking to guys at the bar, just like making friends and stuff. And like I had this moment of like, how interesting. Like this is old Lindsay. Like I feel like embodied and magnetic and flirtatious. And, you know, like I'm married, so like, you know, it's all PG, but like, and I was like, huh, I haven't felt like myself in this way in a long time. Mm-hmm. And that was a really interesting, I've really been processing that the last couple of weeks because it, I was like, huh, I can still have like old me come through in the seasons. And I'm in a season now where I'm back to like full, like Lindsay before babies was so ambitious. And I was like, I'm going to $100 million is my lifetime goal. Like I'm going to hit it. And like, maybe that's still my lifetime number. I don't know. But now I'm so much less attached to those kind of metrics. And I'm so much more attached to like listening and feeling and making sure it's the right match for my nervous system and trusting that the money will be there. Mm-hmm. But like old Lindsay had a lot of qualities that I felt like I couldn't harness in early motherhood, like my outgoingness and my ability to like this, talk deep on subjects that, and just have this sense of familiarity with people or like, you know, be an expert at things. And I felt like so much of who I am was kind of dormant for many years there through early motherhood. And that's frustrating because like, especially when you're so attuned to high achievement and ambition and like having an idea and making it happen. Mm-hmm. And then you're in these early motherhood days and you're like, what the hell? Like, who am I? Where did all of that energy go? Like, why? I know how to do it, but I can't muster it. Like, what is it? Mm-hmm. And like I already said, like I'm 4 years out. So maybe that is the timing, but I'm starting to feel that stuff come back where I'm like, oh, that's old Lindsay. Like old Lindsay can make friends in a bar and have a great conversation. But like 2 years ago when I still had a 2-year-old, like I was like, I'm mom, like I'm mom vibes. I do not want to go like be flirty at a bar, you know? And so I'm using this as an example. I'm not saying like go flirt in Vegas or something, but, but I do think like there's these things we can do to remind ourselves that there's still parts of us there and this is just not their time. Mm. And it may be that like, a lot of stuff gets shelved for a while. And it may be that you have something come up and you really want to chase it. Like, I mean, you did it 3 months in, you're like, mastermind, I really want to do this. And you can do it and you are doing it, right? But the way you launched it in that moment, you're like, I can feel it. I want to do it. And then like immediate regret and immediate like 4 month sleep regression. And you're like, oh, now's not the time. And so I think we can have these kind of waves of, oh, we get this feeling where we want to come out of the cocoon a little bit. And we're like, oh, the butterfly wings. And then you realize like, ooh, it's not summer yet. Like I'm going to go back in, you know? And, right. And you can kind of play in this energy of reminding yourself who you are without needing to fully express it. And then until you hit your stride or you hit a point through motherhood where I am now, where I'm like, okay, now I'd like to explore what my ambition season looks like again, because I've been in motherhood season for 6.5 years. Almost 7 years. Well, I guess, longer than that with pregnancy. And now I've got a 4-year-old, almost 5, and a 6-year-old, almost 7. Like, I feel like I can be in ambition season. And that is so like, I am so lit up about that. Mm-hmm. And I work in Boss Babe where Natalie is still very much in like motherhood season. She has a 2-year-old. She's, you know, going to have a second sometime in the next couple of years, you know? And I'm like, how do I hold the ambition for us and the company while she gets to stay in motherhood season? And so I think, and you know, all of us, we can look around at our life and we can look around at our business and our career and go, what season am I in? Trust that your ambition, if you're not in ambition season, it's going to come back. And when you need a little jolt, like if you're feeling stagnant or you're feeling like resentful, open your mind up to one of these ambition things. And like you did with the mastermind, you're like, I could do this. And wow, it filled fast. And like, this is so exciting. Okay, wait, but I'm not in this season. So I'm going to honor, I'm going to take it back down, but I know I can do it. And a couple months later, you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And here we go. And like, there is nothing wrong with that. And totally normalizing, honoring the season that you're in. And I hear you talk about that a lot. So I know your audience knows this, but it's just like, motherhood is one of these things where I think the where we go awry and we burn ourselves out and we end up not liking it, or we end up treating our kids in a way that we didn't want to be that kind of parent. And here we are because we're just so frustrated and burned out and unsupported. It's like the secret to all of that is to be in alignment in your inner compass. And I think when we start to succumb to the pressure of external measures of ambition, that's when we start to get off of our compass and start to align ourselves with things that aren't for us. And then we go down that path and it's years or months later and we're like, God, we're so burned out. God, like I can't do it because I have young kids. It's not possible for me. And it's like, well, maybe the way you're doing it isn't possible, or the thing you're doing isn't possible because it's not meant for you. But that doesn't mean there's not an expression of your ambition in this season that works. And you just have to stay curious and you have to stay really, really, I think, just very like radically honest with yourself and very graceful with yourself to say, I love that idea, but it's not for right now. But this idea is doable right now. And I'm going to honor my ambition at this level for this time until I'm back in ambition season.
Gosh, I love the way you articulate that, because I do think, you know, even like in this podcast mastermind that I'm doing right now, there are a few women that are moms that are like, I want to do this, and I was like, okay, but you want to like your life while you're in it. So what makes sense right now, knowing that like you can put something in the notes section of your phone and it can be a future version of you. It doesn't have an expiration date. Like you can get to this when you're going to be super excited and passionate about it, and it makes sense in that season. So I feel like you just gave a permission slip that we all have to give to ourselves. Because obviously people that are clicking on an episode like this are moms or wannabe moms. And I think I just love how
permission. And even if you're not a mom, you know, like my sister doesn't want to be a mom.
Yeah.
She's an aunt. She has dogs and horses.
She
has a lot of dogs. She has four dogs, you guys, and multiple horses and all the things. And like my kids love it. And, you know, like these are themes that come up for everybody, because she has the same kind of like existential questions of, I feel pressure to do this, but I don't really want to. And I think that that's like transcendent of motherhood. And it's a little bit of like a moment in our world, in our generation right now, is this question of like, why? What's the point? Like, why are you chasing the thing you're chasing? Like, regardless of motherhood, why do you want what you want? And when is enough enough? And I ask that like very curiously, like when is enough enough for you? Because I think pre-motherhood Lindsay, there was never enough, like $100 million. And when I hit that, I'm going to the next level, you guys, like absolutely unwavering. There is never enough. And 100 million is probably really hard to hit. So like, would I ever really feel satisfied? Probably not. And now I'm like, I look back at her and I'm like, why? What were you going to do with $100 million? You know, like, and to make that much money means so much work. And now when I'm around my kids, I'm like, I don't want to work that much.
Yep.
So what is enough? Like, is enough enough? And do I need 100 million? No. Like, do I need 10 million? I don't even think so. Like, you know, my number to be really comfortable and really safe and to have a very beautiful home and all of the things is significantly lower than any goal I ever set for myself before I became a mother. And I think it's kind of funny to look at that and go, okay, I still want to achieve and I still want to work hard, and there's no external calibration to it. I know what's enough and I work to that level. And whether it's 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, 100 million, I only want to give this much of myself to work. And
so good.
And I think that's for anybody. You can make that choice at any stage of life and say, the rest of me, I don't want to sacrifice for some arbitrary success goal.
Mm-hmm. Often it's just like we're looking at this goal and the feeling that we think that we're going to have from accomplishing that goal, when it's like you can get a lot of those feelings now. But in addition, it's like it set the goal and unapologetically set the goal, but also understand what are the sacrifices that I actually feel the desire to make, and know that that could change as you change, especially with motherhood involved in it. So I love that. Okay, Lindsay. For people that are as obsessed with you as I am, I want to encourage them that I know you're not actively putting out episodes on the Motherload podcast, but go binge them. Because I mean, I had told you, like, I listened just once I became a mom, I started binging all episodes of your podcast because there's so many juicy conversations. So never ever take that down. And then also, you coming on the Boss Babe podcast, I told Natalie this too, but like, just your perspective on things. Like, again, like it's just this Buddha energy, like this wisdom. And like, you listen to so many damn podcasts and you are so freaking smart about so many random things. You're like a Snapple cap, but like with a lot of depth, you know, you just know a lot. So and for people that have not yet checked out the Boss Babe podcast, in particular, check out the episodes where it's Lindsay and Natalie. Those are so freaking good. And then tell us whatever else you're excited about. Tell us about your business. Tell us all the things.
Yeah. So Motherload, I hope to bring it back. You know, we're Natalie and I are trying to consider like how that would fit into the ecosystem of everything else we do. Cause we love like Natalie's episode on Motherload was an excellent one too. And and I really think Motherload is a place to have a very specific type of conversation with some of the women that are business leaders and marketing leaders and, and that we look up to from an entrepreneurial standpoint or a career standpoint, but and we only get a snippet of motherhood and it's like Motherload, we can go deep on all of this stuff, you know? So there are 60 some episodes and definitely binge them. I hope to bring it back soon, but it'll never go away. And then, yeah, the Boss Babe, you know, Natalie and I are very intentional about these kind of conversations. We do talk about motherhood and we really talk about business and mindset. Like we're really getting deeper into nervous system regulation and mindset work and inner work and money because you know, we can teach you a funnel. We can teach you social media virality, and you'll still fail at it if you're dysregulated. You'll still fail at it if you don't believe in yourself. You'll still fail at it if you're struggling with some of the stuff that we're talking about today, where you're blaming being, you know, you're trying to be in an ambition season when you're in a motherhood season, and that's okay, you know, and you're blaming your kids for your inability to work. And really, it's like, actually, right now is a motherhood season. And that means ambition gets a little bit of my time, and my goals adjust accordingly. And so, yeah, we have a lot of these conversations really candidly. I hope that you'll see more and more of this type of conversation through everything we teach. I listen to so many podcasts and, you know, and I'm 41. So like, I'm definitely also, I sometimes like to tell people that it's like, I'm 10 years ahead of a lot of people that I work with, like a lot of people that I'm around, that are in their early 30s and like starting to have these conversations around becoming a mother and have built really successful careers before becoming a mother. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, guys, like I'm ahead of you. I'll give you all my advice.
That's why I literally am like, tell me everything. Yeah. Like, I did my career and then I became a mom and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I like, I'd say it a lot. Like Amber Lillystrom is my coach and she's a friend of yours too. And I'm like, she's like, I'm like mother energy. And I'm like, I'm big sister energy. Like
you are big sister energy.
I'm like the big sister that you all need. And I love this role in my, I am the oldest daughter. So like, and this is like actually part of my spiritual dharma. Like when I did ayahuasca, like I saw this whole thing around being the oldest daughter for many, like my mom's the oldest daughter, her mom, her mom, like many generations back. And I feel like there's this energy I can bring to any conversation where I'm like, I'm a little bit tough love, but I'm also like, I will weep with you. Like I absolutely feel every single bit of what you're suffering in these questions around motherhood. And I'm also going to be the person that's like, you can do it. You can do it. That's what you'll get from me on all of the places that I produce
and
content.
CEO Mama, the mastermind that I am so grateful to be a part of that you and Natalie and Danielle like run so well. Enrollment, like check out CEO Mama on Instagram. Like you guys enroll what every couple months or something?
Yeah, we're enrolling twice a year right now so that you can go to CEOMama.com and fill out an application. That's for like high six figure through eight figure. It's 12 months long. We do have like that requirement on the size of the business because we go pretty detailed into some of the tactics. And it's like, if your business isn't your full focus or you're not at that level of business maturity or revenue quite yet, then some of the stuff we teach isn't super relatable. But if you're at that level, it's a great place. And then we have a membership in Boss Babe called The Society. And we are, we piloted a little like mini CEO Mama mini mind inside of there recently for a select group. And we're going to be rolling that out in the fall. So you can also, if you join the society or just come into the Boss Babe world, we will have a CEO Mama, like a more accessible level of CEO Mama available starting in the fall.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
Lindsay,
and I
love
do coaching,
you so much.
Coaching Seriously. Inside society. So you can get me there too.
Yeah, literally everyone needs to get you. And I'm just obsessed with you. So thank you so thank much you. For just such an honest conversation. I'm so grateful to know you. I'm so grateful for you pouring into this whole community. You're the real deal, girl. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for you too. I'm glad we only live an hour apart.
I know. Hey.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now. Or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.